You know, we have this thought, which is true, that we can pray to God. And that's absolutely true, that we can pray to God and that God hears us. But I'm here to say today that there are those who pray that are on praying ground. And then those are those who just pray.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the conclusion of How to Get on Praying Grounds. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How to Get
on Praying Grounds. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. And what he's saying there, that if his eyes are open over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. The face of the Lord is against those that do evil. What does it mean? God doesn't have a face, right? God is a spirit, so he doesn't have a face. So what, when he says that the face of the Lord is against, what does that mean? That means that his presence is against you, that his forces are against you. I don't know about you, but when I get down on my knees and I pray, I want to know that God is for me. I want to know that God is working with me. I want to be righteous. And how can I pray, hallowed be thy name, if I'm not seeking to live a life that's pure and clean? Does that mean I'm not going to slip and fall? Oh, man. I slip and fall all the time. But I get back up. And I keep pushing on. And my goal and my desire, even though I slip up, my goal is to do right. My goal is to please God. My goal is to honor God. My goal is to reflect the presence of the Lord. I've had people that have come up to me and said, in various situations, I was watching you. I was watching you. I remember, I think I shared this story with y'all. I was at John Eagle, and I came out of John Eagle, and I heard this bump, and I saw my car move. And I was like, oh, come on, man, no, I don't. See, back with these cars. See, I think God is trying to teach me something about cars, right? That you don't get rooted and grounded in the car. And so, I went up, and this guy had hit my car from the back. He bumped it. And I was like, I was hot, man. I ain't going to lie to you, right? I was hot. And I was getting ready to say something to him. You know, don't. Can't you drive, man? Where you get your license from? Kmart or somewhere? And so I walked up to my car, and the guy got out of the car. And he said, Pastor Glaze, aren't you on hard questions? See, when you want to do right, sometimes the Lord protects you. Because I didn't want to do right. And then he told me, and Sister Booker just got up and talked about the trip to Lancaster. He said, me and my wife went with your church when you went to Lancaster. Hallowed be thy name. You know, man, you got to live the life that reflects this holy God that you are praying to. I cannot pray, thy kingdom come, which is the king and the subject, if I'm not willing to seek the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And look, in prayer, these things that he just got finished talking about, the needs and all the anxiety, that you can commit that to him. And he said that he'll take care of all those things. All these things will be added unto you. Where? In prayer. Now, again, you just can't pray for any and every old thing. But he said in that particular instance, he takes care of the birds. He takes care of the flowers. He said there's no need to worry. Those are the things that he's talking about. And so if you seek God's kingdom first, then he's going to take care of what you need. He's going to supply those needs. I cannot pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven if I'm not obeying him. That's the master and the servant relationship. How can you say, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Think about this. Who is the individual in your life that has the most power to assure that the Lord's will be done other than you? Right? There's nobody else. I mean, sometimes, you know, we look in different situations around the world where there's, you know, poverty and other things that's going on. But let's just take us here sitting in this sanctuary today, that you are responsible for what goes on in your life. And if God's will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven, where does it got to start? I got to start with you, right? I mean, I get out here and pray, Lord, oh God of omnipotent, God of the universe, God Almighty, we give you all thanksgiving, we give you all praise, and, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? You pray that prayer. And where does it start? It starts with you, right? You can pray for God's will to be done. I don't know about the world. And if the world is going to do God's will, the only one I have control over is Dr. William R. Glaze. And I got to make sure that I'm doing the will of God. I got to make sure I'm doing what God wants me to do. So I cannot pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, if I'm not obeying him. 1 John 3:21 through 24. I cannot pray. Give us this day our daily bread if I'm not willing to share with those who are in need. How in the world, how do you have the gumption to ask God to meet your needs, to bless you? And here you have opportunities to bless others, and you don't do it. As a matter of fact, you know, again, I got the verse there, but I think it's more powerful if I read it, and that's in Proverbs chapter 21, in verse 13. Proverbs 21, in verse 13. Listen to this. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he shall also cry himself, but shall not be heard by the Lord. Wow. Wow. Think about, how can I pray? I cannot pray, give me this day my daily bread, if in my heart is not to be a blessing to someone in need. John said, in 1 John chapter 3, 17 and 18, that if you see a brother that is bereft of daily needs, and you go up to him and you say, hey, what's going on, brother? What's happening, man? Now here this brother is starving, right? Don't have the ability to meet the needs that's in his life. Hey, man, what's going on, man? It's good to see you, bro. Man, remember we used to hang out together? Remember we used to have good times together? Okay, man, yeah, catch you later. John said, how could you do that and walk away? How is the love of God in you? How can I pray? Give me this day my daily bread, and my heart and my ears are closed to the cries of the poor. Now, I hope that don't cause some of us to stop praying the Lord's Prayer. See, you know, the issue is sometimes is that people would rather stop doing it than get your life lined up with it. You know, it seemed like that ought to be the motivation. Well, Lord, let my life line up with what is being prayed here. Now, again, remember what I said. You know, I said that this is God Almighty who stepped out of eternity, who was walking on the face of the earth, and somebody said, teach us to pray, and this is what he said as far as prayer is concerned. He could have said a lot of things, but this is what he said. How can I cannot pray. Oh, I'm getting ready to get in trouble on this one right here. I cannot pray. Oh my goodness, Lord. I could park here for 3 weeks. I cannot pray. Forgive us our trespasses. If I am not willing to forgive those who trespass against me. Jesus said, in case you are a little fuzzy on that right there, Jesus made it even a little bit more plainer when he said this, and when you stand praying, Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything that against one, forgive that one, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass. Man, I know people that something that happened 20, 25, 30 years ago, and the person is still holding it against that individual. And yet still, you know, I talk to people and they come to me and, man, they want God to do stuff in their life and they want God to work in their life and they wonder why God is not maybe doing something that they want him to do, and yet and still something that happened 20, 25, 30 years ago, they're still holding on to it. You got to let that go, man. You know, I wish I could see hearts, right? Even right now. I wish I could see hearts right now. And how many people sitting here today, you sitting there and you got something against somebody and you haven't forgiven them. Now maybe it's still fresh and it's still raw and you gotta, you know, you gotta work your way through it. I understand that. But something that happened, come on, man. That happened, oh, and you still sitting there with that, but yet and still, you sit up in a funeral, you sit up at a wedding, and you say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Right? I need to tell people, man, you know, a lot of times when I help somebody do their wedding, you know, as far as putting the order service together, they put the Lord's Prayer in there. And I might have to just tell them, don't put it in there. Because you're just getting people to lie. You're getting people to lie. They're gonna sit there, they're going to stand there just as plain as the nose on your face, and they're going to say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trust. And they haven't forget, still holding on to it. As a matter of fact, if you saw the person today, you'd be ready to punch them out. I cannot pray. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If I'm not willing to forgive those. I cannot pray. Lead us not into temptation. If I intentionally choose to remain in settings where I'm being tempted. You know that you don't need to be here. You know that this is a place of temptation. I often think of that one song, going back in the day. Me and Mrs. Jones. You know, it said, me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on, right? Now look at this. Brother Dave, look at this. We both know that it's wrong. We both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go. Now, you know, I really could have helped this brother out. If he'd have came to Pastor Glaze for counseling, I could have told him how to avoid this temptation. Because you see, here the problem was with the temptation. We meet every day at the same cafe. 6:30. And I know she'll be there. Right? Bruh, I don't know what the name of the cafe is, but you don't need to go. That's temptation. You're putting yourself in the place of temptation. But yet and still we get, and we pray, lead us not into temptation. Right? And then we turn right around again. These weddings and funerals, man, right? Lead us not into temptation. If we know that we're getting ready to go out and do something that's untowards, right? Say it loud. I cannot pray. I cannot pray, deliver me from evil if I continue to pursue evil things. If I continue to pursue things that are wrong, if I continue to cheat on my taxes, I cannot pray. I cannot pray. Yeah. If I'm pursuing the wrong things, if I'm actively pursuing the wrong things, I cannot pray. I cannot pray, thy kingdom come, for thine is the kingdom. Well, we already looked at that earlier. I cannot pray, thine is the power, if I live in my own strength. If I'm trying to do things of my own accord, if I'm trying to do things out of my own ability and my own resources, then how can I say, God, yours is the power? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. All right. I heard that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, I besought the Lord three times that he might take it from me. You know, and God didn't do it. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. A soldier told the king about a man who single-handedly defeated an army with his sword. And the king said, I must see the sword that defeated that army. And the man replied, he said, oh, king, not the sword, but you should see the arm that wields the sword. You should see the arm that wields the sword. We are just swords. And the only power that we have is in God. The only strength that we have is in God. I cannot pray, thine is the glory, if I'm seeking my own glory. If I'm doing something because I want to be recognized, if I'm doing something because I want to be first, if I'm doing something because I want to seek the attention out of it. What is glory? Glory is exalted greatness that puts one at the center of attention. And if I'm seeking my own glory, then where's the glory of God? Charles Spurgeon, who was known as the Prince of Preachers. He was preaching, and he was a godly man that preached the word of God with power. And somebody came out after he was preaching, and they said, well, what did you think about Spurgeon? And the person said, well, I don't think too much about Spurgeon, because the whole time he was preaching, he had me looking at Jesus. The whole time he was preaching, he had me looking at Jesus. So when we do things, we do them to reflect the glory of God. Now, again, people will tell me, Pastor, that was a powerful sermon. Or, you know, that sermon really spoke to my heart. Yeah, you know, I'm pretty bad, ain't I? You know, I can really put a sermon together, you know. If it were not for the grace of God, I wouldn't even be able to stand up here. You know, I was driving to church this morning, and I don't know why I started thinking back to some of the things I did before I got saved. I don't know why I started thinking that. And I was thinking to, and I said, Lord, how in the world did you call me to preach? And I know when I stand up here or stand anywhere, I only stand because it's the grace of God. And I know I might, if you tell me something, I might say thank you, or, you know, I might say, you know, I appreciate that. But I know, Lord, the glory belongs to you. And how can I pray thine is the glory if I'm seeking the glory for myself? If I'm trying to get it out of myself. Now, you know, sometimes I get turned off a little bit to people who you say, man, that was great, man. You know what you did was great. And they say, oh, don't praise me. Praise God. You know that God. No, come on, man. You know, I mean, yeah, God used you. So thank you. I appreciate that. But after that, the glory goes to God, man. Right? And I can't pray thine is the glory if I'm seeking the glory for myself. I cannot pray forever if I'm focusing on things that are temporal. You know, we have to have eternal mindsets and realize that it's only one life and it'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. I cannot pray, amen, unless I honestly say, cost what it may, this is my prayer.
Thank you for joining us today on Encourt in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Persistence in Prayer. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How to Get on Praying Grounds, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Get on Praying Grounds. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Get on Praying Grounds from our series on Lent. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Lent is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit KurtinJesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. It lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, your soul can be anchored in the Lord.